Hello, and thanks for joining us for our special Chicago Tonight coverage of the Democratic National Convention. I'm Brandis Friedman. It was a passing of the baton tonight as President Joe Biden headlined day one of what just a month ago was expected to be a convention for his renomination. Of course, Biden dropped out of the race and endorsed his Vice President Kamala Harris to run instead. Since then, Democratic politicians, fundraisers, and voters have rallied around Harris. And as the city that has hosted more political conventions than any other, it seemed like destiny that Chicago would play host this year. We kick off our coverage tonight from inside the United Center, where our Amanda Vinicky watched tonight's speeches. Amanda.
Yes, Brandis. President Joe Biden may not be running again because, as he framed it, he's too old. But let me tell you, he gave a lot of energy tonight, and he received it back from the crowd at the Democratic National Convention here, frequently chanting, "We love Joe." He said that he loved being president, but that he loves his country more. And he spent a fairly lengthy speech talking about his legacy. But he also talked about the damage that he believes would be done by another Trump presidency, talking about what he characterized as playing in befriending dictators. And he said that Trump is someone who lies, damages democracy.
There is no place in America for political violence. None. You cannot say you love your country only when you win.
It was a symbolic passing of the torch at the end of Biden's speech. Kamala Harris came up to the stage with their families. They united and raised their arms together. Now, the rest of this week is going to be focused on a future, if it, Democrats get their way at least, President Kamala Harris.
And I want to kick us off by celebrating our incredible President Joe Biden. Joe, thank you for your historic leadership, for your lifetime of service to our nation, and for all you will continue to do. We are forever grateful to you.
Harris does have Illinois ties, spending part of her childhood living in Urbana-Champaign when her parents taught at the university there. And according to reporting by the blog Evanston Now, she actually also lived in Evanston when her parents worked at Northwestern University. But Illinois really was all over the DNC tonight, and it's not just because the convention is taking place here at the United Center, where normally you have Bulls and Blackhawks games.
It is so fun to be back here in the United Center. And as you guys know, a lot of good stuff has happened in this building, especially in the 90s. You young people, Google Michael Jordan and you can read all about it, okay?
Now, a lot of officials from Illinois got prominent speaking roles. That included U.S. Representative Lauren Underwood, the youngest black woman elected to Congress. She talked about both her and Harris championing maternal health, and also about how she and, and also about how former President Trump failed America during the COVID pandemic when she says that Biden and Harris got it under control.
4 years ago, it was not safe to hold a convention like this. But tonight, thousands have gathered in this arena in my home state of Illinois to make sure Kamala Harris is the next president of the United States.
When he took the stage, Illinois senior U.S. Senator Dick Durbin credited Biden and Harris with creating millions of jobs.
Want a pay raise? Too bad. The boss just gave himself one, so there's nothing left for you. Donald Trump reminds us of a boss we all had, the guy who thinks he's a very stable genius, but is driving the company into the ground.
Durbin says that's in contrast to President Trump, who he says would make America unemployed again. Other Illinois appearances came from Chicago's mayor, and you're going to hear about that in just a little bit. And then also Archbishop of the Archdiocese here in Chicago, Blaise Supich. And then also you got a performance from the Soul Children of Chicago. The night also featuring a speech from a Chicago-born and Park Ridge native who Democrats had actually hoped would be the first woman president of the United States. And that, of course, is former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
My mother, Dorothy, was born right here in Chicago before women had the right to vote.
Clinton says that she wishes that her own mother, as well as Harris's mom, were around to see what Democrats are poised to do now in, she believes, electing Harris to the White House. Back to you.
Amanda, thanks. We'll see you, of course, again later on in the program. Right now, though, Chicago is the center of the political universe, and for a few minutes, Mayor Brandon Johnson was directly in its white-hot spotlight as he officially welcomed the DNC to Chicago. Our Heather Sharone joins us now from the United Center with a look at his speech. Heather.
Well, if there is one thing that Mayor Brandon Johnson loves more than Chicago, it's he loves proclaiming Chicago as the greatest freaking city in the world. Let's listen to how he closed his speech to the Democratic National Convention in his hometown.
Together we can build a better, brighter future, and there's no better place to start that than right here in the greatest freaking city in the world, the city of Chicago.
So not only does he love Chicago, he said this is a love letter to both Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz. He wanted to basically rebrand Chicago after 4+ years of former President Donald Trump denigrating and degrading Chicago. This is the Chicago he wants delegates, their friends, and volunteers to remember, not the one painted by President Trump.
And Heather, we did hear a full-throated endorsement of Harris and Walz from Johnson. Why was that?
Well, they are three politicians from the more progressive wing of the Democratic Party. They certainly agree on issues like education and affordable housing. But for Johnson, it's more personal. Let's listen to how he sort of set the stakes of this election for his family.
And as a black man, raising a little black girl on the west side of Chicago, I know that my daughter Brayden will see not only a reflection of herself in the White House, but she will experience the deepest part of American values.
So not only does Brandon Johnson, the politician, have a lot at stake with the success or the failure of this convention, Brandon Johnson, the father, has a lot at stake, too. And Brandis, when we come back for Spotlight Politics, we'll talk about the challenges facing the politician, Mayor Johnson.
That's right, Heather. We'll see you in a little bit. Thank you. First, though, here in studio to share their reactions from the first night of the Democratic National Convention are Joe Walsh, former Republican congressman from Illinois, who ran for president himself 4 years ago and is now supporting the Harris-Walz ticket, and Pastor Corey Brooks, the CEO of Project Hood in Chicago. Pastor Brooks spoke last month at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Welcome back, gentlemen. Thanks for joining us. So first, let's get your reaction to what we heard from President Biden tonight in his speech. Pastor Brooks, first to you.
Well, I was reading on my Twitter line, and someone said this, and I totally agree, that Biden is good at delivering eulogies, and tonight he delivered his own. I think that was appropriate, and I think that's about what we saw, someone who gave a swan song and a great farewell.
Joe Walsh.
What a long, odd, crazy month and a half it's been. And so, I mean, this was a long night, and I thought President Biden gave a long speech. But when you think about what has transpired in the last month and a half, when he said tonight, I love this job, but I love my country more, that's profound. Those are words that Donald Trump could never utter, but that's profound. This was the passing of the torch, and it was important that everybody in that convention hall and everybody at home listening understand what Biden did in these first 4 years. And handing this off now to Kamala Harris, I think, is a big deal. And I think starting tomorrow, you're going to see, again, the emphasis toward looking forward.
What stood out to you tonight?
It seemed like every Democrat ever elected in the history of the United States of America spoke, Corey, right? But I get it. I get it. The Democrats have a lot of young... We've been paralyzed by Trump-Biden for so long. There are a lot of good young Democratic politicians, a lot of good young Republican politicians. They wanted to show some of them tonight. A lot of compelling speeches. I thought Hillary Clinton's speech was very compelling. And look, they love Joe Biden. Everybody in that hall loved him. And you could tell.
Pastor Brooks, did you think we were seeing, obviously, in addition to some of the old guard like Hillary Clinton, but some of the future leaders of the Democratic Party on stage tonight as well?
Absolutely. I think they're some of the future leaders of the Democratic Party. They're a little far left for me. But I think some of the new leadership, the sister who spoke from Texas, of course, you have the sister who was from New York as well. So you have a lot of great female leaders who are coming forth in the Democratic Party.
Pastor Brooks, what do you make of the Harris-Trump matchup compared to the former Biden-Trump matchup?
Well, it's going to be a far better matchup, and it's going to be a tough matchup. It's not going to be a cakewalk as it would have been if Biden had been in place. Trump would have just walked straight through. But with her, it's going to be a different race. It's going to be a tight race. I think we have to stay on message. We can't go into identity politics. We have to continue to talk about education, economics, and immigration. And I think if we stay on point, the American people will see that our policies are far more better than what the left has to offer.
Pastor Brooks would stay on point. Trump's team will stay on point. Trump can't
Trump
stay
himself.
On point.
All right. And we're going to talk a little bit more about messaging in a bit when we bring the whole team back for Spotlight. Joe Walsh, Corey Brooks, thanks. We'll check back in with you shortly. Now we go back inside the United Center where our Amanda Venicky has an enthusiastic member of the Illinois delegation. Amanda, I think I might have seen this person standing on a chair inside the convention hall earlier.
Yes, I believe that you did, Brenda, as did many other viewers. And that, of course, is Illinois Comptroller Susana Mendoza. So you often might have think of somebody who does the budgeting and the books to be tame. Not so. So enthusiastic, putting out a lot of energy, particularly during former First Lady, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's speech. Why? What got you so motivated?
Oh, my gosh. How can you not be motivated in this place? I mean, you know, I'm high energy anyway, Amanda, but... seeing Hillary Clinton, it just reminded me, I actually won my election for controller of the state of Illinois in 2016, the same year that Tammy Duckworth was elected U.S. Senator, and it was supposed to be a trifecta, Tammy, me, and Hillary Clinton. And at our victory parties, both hers and mine, everyone in the front row was bawling their eyes out because she didn't cross the finish line. And so today was kind of like a lot of emotion for me in that respect. It really should have been her, but look at her. She's helping other women finally break that ceiling. She's doing it for all of us. Kamala Harris is the next generation of amazing, qualified, experienced women to lead our country. She's going to do it, and every little girl in America is going to see themselves reflected in her. It's long overdue.
You had to have kind of noticed when perhaps Clinton gave that smile when people were chanting in the crowd, lock him up.
Oh my gosh, I was like so, I think I was the loudest one. Yes, it's about time. And right back at you, Donald.
You know, you talked about the importance of women being elected, but also, of course, the women's vote is so important, particularly perhaps in some races in some of Illinois' suburbs, but also cross country. What is the message that Democrats need to share to women? Is it still about reproductive rights or is it about the economy?
Well, it's about so much of that. But, you know, reproductive rights is an economic issue. They're tied hand in hand. And when it comes to family planning, you know, if you're not able to have that family, if you make a woman who is raped have a baby, how is that going to help her economics? How is that going to help our country's economics? At the end of the day, the Republicans are completely dead wrong on this issue. And think about the fact that not even just like the choice issue is at stake here. But even people who want to have babies, who have trouble having them, their IVF is under attack. So you've got a party who's saying you have to have a baby. But if you want to have a baby and can't have a baby, you can't have a baby. Does any of this make sense? Make it make sense to me. It doesn't. It's just flat wrong. And even Republican women are like, they've gone too far. Now's the time to correct course. We have to elect Kamala Harris for all of our rights. You heard some of those families. Those were heartbreaking stories of near deaths for the mother because of the law changes given Roe v. Wade's collapse. So a lot's at stake in this election, and
reproductive rights and the economy are going to be key messages.
They're like this.
You heard it right here from Illinois Comptroller Susana Mendoza, perhaps the most enthusiastic, at least member of the Illinois delegation on the floor tonight.
I do want to give a special shout out to Noe Ramirez for building that stage along with all the other union brothers and sisters of his, Chicago's labor, its finest.
There you have it.
Amanda, Comptroller Mendoza, thank you so much. And up next, our whole team is back with more takeaways from night one of the DNC.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Jim and Kay Mabee family, the Polk Brothers Foundation, and the support of these donors.
Joining us once again is our Spotlight Politics team, Amanda Vinicky, Heather Sharone, and Nick Blumberg, along with our studio guests, former Congressman Joe Walsh and Pastor Corey Brooks. Thanks again, everyone. Heather, let's start with you, please. So, you know, going back to Johnson and the stakes of the convention, why are they so high for him?
Well, he's the top guy. If this convention goes wrong, he will wear the jacket, and it will hurt his ability to get things through the city council, and it will diminish his store of political capital. But if this convention is a success and Kamala Harris becomes the 47th president of the United States, in part because of this well-run convention, Brandon Johnson will be seen as a queen maker, especially because he has faced so many questions about his leadership ability and his ability to keep the protests in check. So there is a lot at stake for him. It is a high risk, high reward probability that he is facing tonight.
Heather, I gotta say, I'm pretty sure I think you're the first person I've heard use the term queen maker. So you get the credit for that. Nick,
trademark it.
It's all yours. So Nick, you've been following the protests, of course. After today's rally, some of the groups returned to Union Park. What happened there?
That's right. They marched all the way back from the location where they were rallying near the United Center, still, you know, a couple blocks away. But when they made it back to Union Park, there were a handful of protesters who started to set up a small encampment, actually, you know, pitching tents there. Now, Chicago police pretty quickly moved in and eventually gave them orders to disperse, which they did. Folks who were on site who I spoke with who saw it said they took their own tents down and they moved out of the park. By the time we got back there, there were rows and rows of Chicago police lining up through the park, kind of keeping an eye on the situation. But by that point, there was only a very small number of protesters, none of whom still had those camps up. Certainly Chicago police, you have to imagine, are very hesitant to see anything like any of the university encampments that we've seen protesting Israel's war in Gaza over the course of the last almost year now.
Nick, you know, many of the other causes, the Coalition to March on the DNC advocates for are also, you know, or advocates for. They are, you know, also things that many Democratic politicians support. What do the protesters have to say about some of those?
That's right. You know, this is very much focused on ending what they say is Israel's, you know, genocide in Gaza, stopping U.S. aid and arms to Israel. But they also, you know, talk a lot about reproductive rights, about rights of immigrants, about making sure there's housing available for all. But essentially they say, look, the Democrats have made their choice. If they are going to continue to support Israel and they lose in November, too bad. that's a decision that they've made. And so these are folks who are really out here aligned very much with causes, not with a political party. They say, you know, these two parties, they're not really representing us. And if they want us to, you know, give them their full-throated support, then they need to stop supporting Israel. It's as simple as that, even if they do align on things like reproductive rights, LGBTQ plus rights, all those sorts of issues.
Okay, so back inside the United Center, here's a brief clip from President Biden talking about the importance of democracy.
I stand before you now on this August night to report that democracy has prevailed. Democracy. Democracy has delivered. And now democracy must be preserved.
Joe Walsh, what do you make of the messaging that we heard from the president tonight?
I'm so glad, Brandis, that Joe Biden sticks with this defending democracy theme. He was told in 2022, avoid it. His consultants told him to do that. He ignored them. He emphasized that Trump is a threat to democracy. The Democrats had a good midterm. They avoided the big red wave. If this election is about Donald Trump, and think about this, somebody's going to lose in November. If Kamala Harris loses, she will publicly concede, she'll congratulate Trump, and she'll participate in the peaceful transfer of power. If Donald Trump loses, he'll do none of that. I think Kamala Harris needs to follow suit with what Biden's done and continue to talk about this issue of democracy.
Pastor Brooks, what do you make of, you know, some of the energy and the messaging tonight, especially compared to, I mean, obviously it's only day one for the Democrats, but especially compared to the Republicans and their energy and messaging a few weeks ago?
Well, I think they got off to a bad start. You know, it was really long. Compared to the Republican convention, it was really enthusiastic. It got off to a lot of momentum. We'll see tomorrow. I'm pretty sure it's going to pick up. I'm sure the momentum is going to pick up. Now that they've gotten all the historical politicians out of the way, you're going to see entertainers, you're going to see celebrities, you're going to see music, and you're going to see the theatrics of it. And I'm sure the momentum is going to pick up. And then leading up to Vice President Harris giving her speech, I'm sure they'll do a great job.
Maybe a bit of retooling or recalibrating after tonight. Amanda, Governor Pritzker speaking to the party faithful this morning, hinting at his own future plans after not being selected as the vice presidential candidate for Kamala Harris. What did the governor have to say?
Brandis, this is a question that Pritzker has been asked before recently. On the day that it was announced that Harris had selected Governor Walz instead of Governor Pritzker, and he said, you know, I haven't thought a lot about my political future, haven't thought about a cabinet position, or when asked directly, will he run for a third term? But he brought it up today, as you noted, in front of a crowd of people who very much care about who fills that job and some politicians, I bet, who are hankering for running at that position. He said it's up to his wife, First Lady of Illinois, M.K. Pritzker, whether what his quote-unquote term limit is. But he went on to say, feel free to talk to her about it. So a lot of talk that, yes, it was sort of an opening gambit in Pritzker, already looking ahead to the next election.
And Amanda, you were also in the hall tonight when the vice president and the candidate appeared on the stage. What did you make of that? It's not very typical to appear on the stage and say a few words that first night, is it?
No, it is very atypical, but what about this convention? What about this election? What about this process is, I mean, when you look at the Republican side and, frankly, a president with felony convictions, that's unprecedented. Something like a president right now who made clear he didn't want to drop out of the race, that he, as I noted earlier, said he loves being president, clearly wanted to stay in the campaign, but instead stepping aside. That's atypical. So what we saw tonight in terms of the nominee making an appearance on this first night, yes, it is different, but I think it was something that really had to be done out of respect for the man who chose her to be his running mate and in homage to his legacy. As I noted earlier, really tonight was about looking back at that legacy. The rest of this week is going to be about looking forward.
Well, thank you, Amanda, because I, just briefly before we have to go, I wanted to get Pastor Brooks' thoughts on Jesse Jackson's brief appearance tonight during a tribute to him at a convention.
It was really great to see Jesse Jackson. You know, as growing up as a little kid, I wanted to be a Jesse Jackson. I didn't know I was going to be on the right, but I'm certainly he's certainly a role model, and I appreciate all the things that he's done, not just for Chicago, but for the world at large. And so it was a great opportunity for them to present to him and show him some love, and I think it's well-deserved.
All right, that's where we'll have to leave it. Thanks to our studio guests, Pastor Corey Brooks and Joe Walsh, as well as our team in the field, Amanda Vinicky, Heather Sharon, and Nick Blumberg. Thanks, everybody. And that is our show for tonight. Be sure to join us tomorrow at 5:30 and 10, or whenever the convention is over, for coverage of day two of the Democratic National Convention. And be sure to check out our website for the very latest convention coverage and subscribe to our email newsletter, The Daily Chicagoan, at WTTW.com/newsletter. Now, for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Brandis Friedman. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy and safe, and have a good night.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that is proud to recognize its founder and senior partner, Robert Clifford, who ranked number one in the state of Illinois by Super Lawyers Top 10 2024 Illinois Super Lawyers List.